flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
You're listening to Ride at Home with Rich. And now, here's your host, Rich Horace.
Good Saturday afternoon, everybody. This is Ride at Home with Rich, and I'm your host, Rich Horace. And today is a very important day. You're going to want to listen very closely because today is Foundation Day. And, you know, we know every home is only as good as its foundation, right? We plan to talk about all types of foundation repairs, including, but not limited to, you know, waterproofing, crack repair, concrete leveling, peering, foundation wall anchors. We can get through everything, even egress windows. If your home has a foundation, and we know it does, you're going to want to hear everything we have to offer today. Of course, as always, I'll have my hack and my On the Road with Rich segment today. And here to join me today in this conversation on your foundations is Kevin Welch from Stratum Structural Systems. So, hey, thanks for taking some time out of your Saturday to join us here. How you doing today, Kevin?
Good, Rich. How about yourself? Thanks for having me.
Wonderful. You know, it's been a super hot week, so I'm sure we've got a lot of things shifting, you know, in your industry because of the weather and everything. But, you know, for starters, why don't we just kind of start out, can you just kind of tell everybody a little bit of your history about yourself and how did you get into the foundation repair industry?
Sure thing, yeah. So I've been in home construction, Rich, for about 32 years. Bounced in and out of a few different parts of the industry, concrete, decorative concrete resurfacing. Got into roofs, gutters, windows, and then landed in the foundation side of the industry about 12 years ago and have stayed in it ever since. So
awesome.
Yeah. Enjoy it.
That's great. So can you just kind of give us maybe a little history on Stratum and, you know, when they started, how did they go, and what do you do, all that stuff?
So Stratum was born by two gentlemen, Matt Ford and Brett Groman, about 6 years ago. So we're into our sixth season,
okay,
sixth year of doing foundation repair. So we're a structural foundation repair specializing in structural repair, waterproofing. We have an egress window division. So pretty much anything involved with foundations or water around your house is what we do.
Yeah, settling, all that stuff.
Settling,
right?
Yep.
Sweet. So what areas do you guys serve?
So we're predominantly servicing right now the St. Louis metro area. I'd say 70-mile radius of St. Louis.
Okay.
And then over into Illinois as well. So
yeah,
we're like, if you drew a circle in the city of St. Louis and went about 150 miles, that's pretty much going to be our territory at this given moment, with some dreams of expanding into other markets as we grow.
Awesome.
But, not ready for that yet. So, yeah.
Yeah, and just so everybody else out there understands, too, that, I mean, we've been working together for years and years. I've worked with Matt Ford doing foundation repairs and stuff with other companies for years and years, probably 18 years or something with Matt. It's been an awfully long time. So I was super excited to see Matt take his knowledge and start this out and get it running for himself and everything. I think it's a great thing that he's doing. And, you know, I think he's great people doing it, you and him both. And
yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I won't say it hasn't come without some stresses, but
sure.
Whenever you're getting a business up and moving, the way we wanted to get it up and moving is always going to have a little stress here and there, but it's all good. So yeah, you know, we all came from a big box company that you're well aware of, and this was a dream of Matt and Brett's that had been kind of building for a couple of years, and finally the moment came. So we're super excited. We feel we're locked in now and doing what we do best, and that's taking care of people.
That is so awesome. And so real quick, let's just get it out there right away. So how can people find you? How can they get your information or have you come out and look at their house?
So there's two ways predominantly is going to be our through the internet, through stratumrepair.com.
Okay.
So if you Google that, you'll find us real quick. And then you can give us a call at our main number, 314-620-8153.
Awesome. And so I wanted to get into my On the Road with Rich segment because, you know, I've done so much with Matt in the past for years and years, and you yourself also, and I'm so glad that we're working with you guys here at Mosby and everything, taking care of our clients and everything. So I thought we could go over that call that I brought you out on. It wasn't my first call. I kind of looked at it and, you know, was like, yeah, this is big enough that I'm going to get some more people involved, and didn't even look into the crawl space at the first time I was there because we had to take the lid off and all that and unscrew the door. And I said, you know, let me get the experts with me. We got to get in the crawl space. We got a lot of work to do to figure this out. And as I'm sure you remember, you know, so to describe to everybody, they had a crawl space on half the house and then a full basement on the other. And the full basement was flooding. ServPro came out and kind of, you know, tore everything out that was wet and bad and did all their drying stuff. And so we go out there and we take the door off this crawl space. And, you know, we had put a rubber liner in it a lot of years ago when we did their kitchen, probably 15 or more years back. I was actually the project manager on this client's kitchen. So we did this rubber liner just to hold the moisture back and took care of some mold and stuff. In looking in there, we could see the water. We could see, you know, the sump pump probably wasn't working right that was in there, you know, looking at about a half inch of water or something. And so I go to climb into this crawl space, and what you couldn't tell was the rubber liner was actually floating on about a foot of water.
Looked like one of those jump castle deals, yeah. With the, you know, the blowing the air in, like, yeah, it was funny.
Literally just like sunk into like a lake of water. Mm-hmm. There's so much water coming through there. So they had a couple other people look at it. But what I really like, Kevin, with your guys and what I really explained to them was your guys' approach at, you know, more drain tile and stuff. Can you kind of explain what you did around that and what
was
different? Yeah,
so if I remember right, they had a competitor that just wanted to do their basement. It didn't even open up the hatch to the...
There was one that didn't look in there, and then there was another one that they showed it to them afterwards.
Okay.
And they were just going to do like a perimeter.
Yeah, so we jumped in and found out what the root of the problem was, which was the fact that the drainage in the crawl space along with the sump wasn't handling the amount of water it was taking in.
Yeah.
And so we came in, you guys removed the liner.
Yep.
Which I think was a task.
Yeah.
Just because it was like a lake in there.
It was a big crawl space.
And then, yeah, it was a huge crawl space. And then we, as we always do, whenever we do a crawl space, a lot of companies will just do the perimeter with the drain tile.
And that's what they were hearing.
Yeah, and we don't just do that. That's not the – we don't fill it in a crawl space area. That's the solve-all, end-all. So what we'll do is we'll do what's called laterals. So we'll run each direction through the middle with the drain tile system as well. So, and then route that to the sump pit. So then you're catching water at a lot of different locations as opposed to just the perimeter. Because in theory, what can happen is the water can build up hydrostatically out in the middle of that crawl space.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have a way, like unlike a basement floor, you know, basement floor with concrete, it'll push the water to the outer edges. When you don't have concrete in a crawl space, it's just going to sit out in the middle. So you got to capture that water out in the middle as well to get it routed to the drain or to the sump pump.
Yeah, and such a good theory to move the amount of water that you need. And I see so many, you know, systems out there where people are putting them in and not doing enough, or you know, only doing one sump pump when it's so big that it really probably needs two. I mean, they undersize them. They do a lot of things like that that just really doesn't, you know, help in the long run.
If I remember right, I think you had to go home after that call, didn't you?
Oh, man. I was a little
water
wet.
Up to your your kneecaps.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
And then you invited me in, and I said, no, thanks. I'm good.
It's the second time I've seen that much water in a crawl space. The first time I didn't go in. I just found it. Yeah. This time, yeah, you couldn't tell. It was almost like that whole mirror glass. It just looked like it was a little wet. It was pretty crazy. But yeah, it's like I always describe that liner as like the reverse of a swimming pool. You know, you're trying to hold the water underneath. Well, boy, it was trying to hold that water underneath and just floated that thing way up.
Yeah, it was pushing the water into the basement is what it was doing. So
yeah.
So we ended up, correct me if I'm wrong, it's been a little while, but we ended up just doing the crawl space, right?
Yep.
And then didn't need to do the inside of the basement.
Yeah, I think everything
that wasn't the root of the problem
was coming from the crawl space. And then Mosby was able to put the basement back together, new floors, new drywall, trim, redid some of the bathroom where they tore stuff out, and because there was a bathroom down there that got it, and the cabinets and everything. And it's such a crazy thing. But so what I wanted to get into a little bit was I was reading an article about some facts and statistics and stuff about like foundations and leaks and just things about all the houses, you know, around. And there's a lot of different, you know, facts out there about people having to work on their foundations and things like that, like this one being some insurance stuff, tearing stuff out. So did you know that annually cost to insurance companies from water damage is $2.5 billion?
That's interesting.
That's a lot of money. So
that's plumbing. That's every
leaking. It's just all the repairs from, you know, when, like theirs, when they got to tear out part of a basement. How do you fix it? All that stuff. So $2.5 billion a year in insurance alone. So I was going to ask you, because most of these things, when you get a sump pump, you have some water coming in. If there's not like an event, you know, that causes something or damage to, you know, drywall and carpet and stuff, because you guys don't really work with insurance companies. You don't really, I mean,
rarely. I won't say never, but it's next to never.
So
it's
most repairs
out of pocket
is out of pocket and has nothing to do with insurance companies.
Yep.
On foundation repairs. And this just isn't you. This is just insurance companies generally don't pay to add sump pumps to keep a little bit of water and stuff out.
No, the only time I've ever really seen it is if, you know, there are riders that you can get on your homeowner's policy that cover a one-time sump pump failure. So if you have a sump pump and you have that in on your insurance and it fails and it backs up into the house, they'll cover that. And that's not all of them. You got to really look hard at your insurance and see what you have and what you don't have. But that's occasional. I've come across that, and that's really about the only time.
So the $2.5 billion does not include 90% of foundation repairs.
I'd say 98% of
there
foundation
repairs. There you go, 98%. Yeah. So get ready, because so some of these stats, the next one was 98% of homes have a wet basement at least once in their lifetime.
Wow. I didn't know that.
98%. Well, that's why you're still in this, right? Because it never ends.
Well, the phones don't stop ringing. That's a good thing. So, yeah. No, I had no idea it was that much.
So, 38% of basements have moisture problems that develop into mold, fungus growth, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So there's a ton of that stuff out there. 60% of the basements have just, in general, moisture problems, water, moisture, stuff like that. So, yeah, there's a lot for you to do out there, right?
Oh, yeah. Plenty busy.
So it says new homes will develop a leak somewhere within the first 10 to 15 years of being built. Does that sound about right for what you see?
Yeah, that seems in line. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And normally those cases typically are going to be cracks that have formed in the foundation, maybe early on when it was poured, or there's been a little bit of settlement with the new construction. You know, but we tell people all the time, you know, I have people that say to me, oh, my house is 80 years old. It shouldn't be moving anymore. It's not the case. You know, these things are, we see them 2 years old moving. We see them 120 years old moving. And this is the kind of weather that we're diving into right now where there's a good chance that houses could start moving in the next few weeks.
Yeah.
So when you go from soaking wet grounds to, you know, 100-degree temperatures over the course of 2 weeks, the ground's going to dry out really fast.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk when we get back from our break a little bit on, you know, how that affects it. Why does that make it move? You know, some things like that. So we're going to jump into our first break. When we get back, I'll have my hack really quick. Won't take long. An interesting foundation hack for all you guys out there. And then we'll get into some more of that when we return right after this.
And now, here's Rich's Right at Home Hack.
All right, guys, Rich's Right at Home Hack here. So we all know the main use for chalk is going away, right? With technologies and our school systems, you know, the teachers just aren't drawing on a chalkboard anymore. But here's a use for chalk for your foundation wall. So if you have a small crack in your foundation wall and you're trying to figure out, is it moving? Is anything changing with it? You can take a piece of chalk, hot glue it to the wall on each side of the crack, like a spot on each side, lock it on there. If the chalk breaks, boom, your foundation wall is still moving around. You're going to want to call Stratum Structural Systems to have them out. Do some peering, fix this stuff, but just an easy, simple way to monitor a crack on your foundation wall. So if you want to hear this hack or any of my hacks every week on Facebook, just search Rich Orris Mosby, take you right to my page. They'll be there every week for everybody. And we're going to get back here with Kevin Welsh from Stratum Structural Foundation. So if people do this hack, let's tell them one more time again. So their chalk cracks and everything, they know they got some movement. How do they contact you guys for their foundation repair?
You can go on the web and get us at stratumrepair.com, or you can go to the phone, 314-620-8153.
Awesome.
And that is a method that we often throw out at people. If they don't want to get into using like a crack monitor, which is a little more sophisticated,
it's
a quick do-it-yourself. Grab a box of chalk and slap it on there.
Well, and I've seen so many people like, and it's fine to, you know, mark it with like a pencil, and then they're trying to just like eyeball measure this crack. And it's like, well, the difference between a 16th or an 8th or 3/16ths, or did it really, you know, and sometimes they'll close back up and, you know, ground lifting or whatever. And that's really what I find so interesting about, you know, your guys' work being seasonal for what type of work is happening and everything, kind of amazing to me as I grew up in construction and kind of learned all that. But can you just kind of explain to everybody what that means, like the wet, what happens when it dries, what happens, and how that your line of work kind of shifts
so
with those seasons?
So recently we've been predominantly dealing with water in basements. Soil pressures soils are expanding a lot due to all the moisture.
Yeah.
So we're seeing a lot of wall anchoring, where walls are pushing in due to that soil pressure. But we're anticipating, you know, starting about now, that things are going to go to the typical St. Louis summer, and we're going to dive right out of spring and into summer. And we're going to get really hot as we are. So if that heat remains and the moisture stays away, then what ends up happening is the soils start contracting. So we've gone from an expansive clay soil to a contracting clay soil. And when that begins to happen, it starts to form a lot of air pockets. And those air pockets can get, as we get further into a drought, those air pockets can get deeper and deeper and eventually make their way underneath the foundation and under the footing, which can cause the house to not be sitting on solid ground. And that's when you get settlement. That's when you get things shifting and moving around. So not seeing really much of any of that just yet. It takes some time. It takes a lot of heat and no moisture. But what we're seeing on the forecast right now are conducive with what we typically see get us into that. So we're headed there. We hope we're headed there in a sense. We've had a super wet last couple of years and not had much of dry seasons and pairing seasons. So we get into dry and we get into settlement, we get into pairing. So that's the turn of our business, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, it's so crazy to me, but how much that affects the ground and, you know, can really move things around and change what's going on somebody's, you know, home and foundation and everything.
Yeah, people often wonder, you know, why it is that it does what it does. But I've been told we have some of the worst clay in the entire United States. And that clay has got, what makes it bad is it's got a lot of air pockets in it. And therefore, what it will do is it causes the water to get inside of those pockets, which cause the clay to blow up dramatically.
Mm, yeah.
And then goes the other way. When we get dry, it causes when that water gets sucked out of it, and then it causes that clay to go the other direction and contract dramatically. So you get these dramatic expansion and contraction actions going on. It causes a lot of foundation problems in our region.
And you know what? They didn't name it Clayton. Because we have great soil and we have St. Louis brick, you know, all the stuff from the clay, all that. I mean, yeah, we definitely have some challenging soil around all the different areas.
Absolutely.
Of St. Louis, for sure.
It's good for business.
And I tell you, you know, a little story about, you know, Matt Ford, mm-hmm. Starting the business and stuff. You know, one of the things years back that really attracted me to Matt and to working with Matt so much was I had a client and he had a framing issue going on in this house. It was a walkout basement and there was some framing stuff not done correctly. I could see that. I could tell that. But being a walkout basement, it was hard to see, you know, all the things that if your foundation, you know, when you have the full foundation, I can look for the cracks. I can get ahead of you guys a little bit and know if I need to bring you out or not. And on that walkout, with really having a frame back wall, is very difficult for me to tell, you know, is the foundation doing anything also? Is the foundation playing any part in this? And I was telling him about his framing issues, and he had a couple peering companies come out, and one had offered him, like, 6 piers across the back of this house for the foundation. And the other had offered him 8. And he was like, well, you know, do I need 6? Do I need 8? How do we do that? And I'm like, I don't even honestly know if you need any. But so I brought Matt out and was like, hey, can you meet me out there? Let's look at this foundation. I can't really tell. I don't know that. I don't think there's an issue with it. But and Matt went out there. Look, we walked the place. We looked everything over. And Matt said, fix your framing. There is nothing wrong with this foundation.
Yeah, and that's what we're all about.
Well, it spoke volumes to me, and it was funny too. Later, because then about a week or so later, the homeowner called me. He's like, you know what? I want you guys to fix my house and everything. He said, but I'm just not sure about this peering because I got a guy that said 6, I got a guy that said 8, and I got a guy that said none. Your foundation's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, out of the 3 guys that make money selling piers, which one do you really trust right now?
Right. Yeah, that's a big deal in our industry. We have a lot of competition. That's the estimators are on straight commission.
So, yeah.
So the guy that's selling 8 piers is going to make more than the guy that's selling 6. And at the end of the day, we're all about doing what's right. And if that means we sell none, then that's just the way it is. You know,
Matt
and I have a funny little thing that we tell people. So actually, Matt started it, but we both have three daughters. All three are very similar in age. And Matt and I will often tell clients, if there's anybody that needs to sell you something, it's Matt or I here at Stratum. Because between us and our six daughters, we have a few expenses. So, but even that doesn't, we don't let that get in the way of doing what's right for the customer.
You know, so. And that's what I do here. That's what we do here at Mosby. I mean, it's really, I've told everybody, even new people coming in, I'm helping train, you know, for consulting and stuff like this. I'm telling you right now, you will get more out of that. Even if it's later, even if it's a friend or a family member or a coworker, I mean, you will get more out of that in doing the right thing and being a good advisor than you will ever selling six or eight beers that you don't need or anything like that, or going to eight because you want to make a little extra money when really six would hold it up. And
yeah, in this day and age of Google reviews and all the different places you can go and review, some of my favorite reviews are reviews from customers that we didn't sell them anything. We spent a lot of time in their homes consulting with them, and at the end of it telling them, you're fine. Let it go. Everything's in perfect condition. If you see something change, call us back. While all along, they're getting two and three other bids to do enormous amounts of work. So those are neat reviews when people say, wow, these guys came out and didn't charge me a nickel to look at it and didn't try to sell me anything. And at the end of the day, tell me everything's fine.
Yeah, no, I think it's awesome. So let's think a little bit about like the actual wall. We kind of talked about water and peering and that, but what about like the actual rotating bowing, you know, foundation walls and like your wall anchors and stuff? So like how do those repairs get made?
As far as
just like if you're working on the wall, what kind of wall anchor do you use and things
so
like that?
So we're using a helical anchor. Mm-hmm. There's couple of different options out there in trying to repair a wall that's bowing or leaning in. You've got carbon fiber straps that some companies are trying to use. We actually had a really neat meeting just a week ago with one of the major suppliers of carbon fiber in the industry, and had a conversation with them about, does carbon fiber hold walls back? And does it keep them from leaning in? Does it keep them from bowing?
Yeah.
His comment, this is the owner of the company, his comment was, absolutely, that is not what carbon fiber was made to do.
Yeah.
So that's where the helical anchors come in. It's a permanent fix. It's a fix that doesn't require ongoing maintenance. So you have to be careful because there are some systems that are out there that have to be tightened.
Yeah, I've seen them for sure.
And this is one that's not. This is a proven engineered system that once it's done, provided it was done correctly.
So. Yeah. And so when you're doing that helical, you can kind of feel that tension and everything, right? So, you know,
we're watching, when the drive heads that are spinning those anchors into the earth, we're watching drive heads with pressure gauges on them, which tells us, you know, what kind of soils we're getting into, that we're getting into the undisturbed soil. Once those anchors start to tighten up and the PSI gauges start going up. So that's how we're monitoring, you know, the depths and where we're getting those anchors, at what depth they're going to and making sure they're in the right place. So
yeah.
They don't move again.
Yep. And I love the thing about the carbon fiber, because I see that all the time and everybody talks about how it's like a Band-Aid on your knuckle when you bend it. You can't really bend it that well and stuff. And I'm like, man, but it's glued to the wall, you know, it's almost you're relying on like epoxy to kind of try and hold this thing together and everything. Mm-hmm. So it almost logic says, you know, 12 inches of epoxy might not hold that wall up, but maybe not. But hey, we got to get into our last break here. We got our final segment coming up, man. So fast, so much fun, so much information. We'll probably have to do this two more times again to get all the information out there. But
absolutely,
for everybody else, we'll get more into this right after we come back.
You're listening to Ride at Home with Rich. And now, here's your host, Rich Horace.
All right, guys, we are back, and man, are we having a good time today. Lots of information all about your foundations, waterproofing, piers, wall anchors. We have everything here today. Kevin Welsh with me from Stratum Structural Systems, talking everything about foundations. So, Kevin, I thought maybe we would touch a little bit about, you know, the outside of the home. What do you see that causes some of these problems? What are some of the things that you find that are putting water in the wrong place, or you know, causing havoc on the foundations? And, you know, what are some of those repairs that people can do from the outside to try and help combat some of these issues?
So, Rich, when we're doing an evaluation, we have a customer that'll take us directly to the problem. And it's always a good place to start, so you get kind of a gauge as to what's happening. But what we do at Stratum is we do a full walk around. We're going to look at everything. We're going to look at inside out, and we're going to look a lot outside at what's going on with drainage. Water drainage is a huge reason for a lot of these problems that we fix. If gutters aren't connected properly, so the water is coming off the roof and flowing behind the gutter as opposed to in the gutter. I looked at one yesterday where they had bushes growing out of their gutters, literally 6 inches of little sprouts coming up out of the debris that had been collected inside of those gutters for God knows how long. So, you know, they had a couple of cracks that needed to be filled, but told them that it was extremely important to get those gutters cleared out because they're clearly not operating at all. Yeah. So that's a huge thing. Downspouts, we like to see downspout extended 10 to 15 feet away from the foundation and flowing away and not back towards the foundation. So water's the big thing. And then grade, obviously looking at grade, and is water coming back because the grade's bad?
Is always
another problem.
Yeah, and I tell you, one of the biggest things I find all the time, that for years and years, you know, here at Mosby, when we do our gutters in the ground, the drain pipes, even French drains, you know, through a yard or something like that, you know, we're using hard, smooth-walled PVC pipe, and I see so many issues with the flexible corrugated pipe, you know, snap together connectors. I've tried to use a camera to look inside some of those corrugated pipes from the downspouts and stuff just to see if they're working or not. And man, over the course of the past 10 years, I think I've seen inside those pipes like twice. I just quit even doing it because they go in about 6 feet and the pipe's crushed.
Yeah,
and you can't see any, yeah. And so, you know, it's leaking. You think it's going 10, 15, 25, 30 feet away, and it's literally leaking within the first four or five feet of ground right at your foundation.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's a big problem, too, when you get into the city or the older areas of St. Louis where the clay pipe was used back in the days, you know, 80, 90, 100 years ago. And that clay pipe's not built to last forever either. And you notice a lot of these stone foundations or homes right at the corners where the downspouts come down, water trying to come through the walls. And often it's due to the fact that their water's not escaping from around the foundation. It's going down into the clay pipe, and next thing you know, it's crushed under there and it's backing up against the house.
Yeah, so. And something I see all the time, too, is just the sump pump not working, just stops working, or, you know, they have the whole system and everything, and then basement floods because the sump pump just doesn't work. Like you were talking about, you know, with some riders on insurance would cover like a one-time failure or something. I see that so much. I've literally got one right now that I saw like a week ago that was the same thing. He's like, well, I don't know if it's clogged and there's not a lot of water coming out, or if the pump's just not working, you know, as well as it used to. And I'm like, how old's the sump pump? How long has it been in there? And they're like, oh, I don't know, 15 years, maybe 17. And I'm like, okay, so what kind of maintenance and how often should someone work on that sump pump?
So most sump pumps are going to have a 3-year manufacturer's warranty. They're not built to last forever. You know, keep in mind they're sitting in water in a lot of cases for long periods of time. So what I tell people is that, you know, I often get a question, how long can I expect my sump pump to last? And the answer is, you know, it really depends on how often it's having to work. The harder it's got to work, the more it's kicking on and off, you know, the more abuse it's taken. So your lifespan's probably going to be shorter on that. So yeah, they need to be looked at. They need to be tested. A quick way to test them, if you want to try it yourself, is just, you know, open up the lid, grab a broom and turn the handle around, stick it down there and hit the bobber a few times. Yeah. If there's water in the pit, it'll kick that. It'll kick on and it'll start kicking the water out. Or take a 5-gallon bucket, fill it up full of water, pour it in there, and see if it kicks on. It should kick on if it's working. So those are some quick, easy ways to do it. If you're still in question, give us a call. We'll come out. We'll take a look at it. And but you know, I typically tell people that if your sump pump's approaching 8 to 10 years. You want to be thinking really hard about replacing that, or at least getting a battery backup system included in that, just so that if you have a failure, you're not destroying a finished basement. If you have a finished basement,
yeah, and I guess I see a lot of this stuff too, because I'm kind of like you guys are, you know, when I'm looking at something, I'm kind of looking at the whole house and kind of walking through everything and going, how's this working? How's that working? You know, if I'm gonna do some stuff here, I really want to know everything around so that I'm not, you know, remodeling something that I'm going to need to possibly tear into a couple of years from now or something. So I find a lot of this stuff because I'm just checking the basement, making sure things are well.
And I had one with one of your guys last week. I was out with Kevin, and he had a customer who didn't know anything about her sump pump, and we popped the lid open and played with it for a little while and it wouldn't kick on, and I unplugged it, kicked it back on, or plugged it back in, it still didn't kick on. And then we got in, checked the breaker on the box to make sure the breaker was still set, and it was. And so real quick we figured out, yeah, this thing's, and it was rusted like crazy too, so it was obviously in need of a new pump.
Yeah, and I'm also advising people, you know, just kind of like take that walk around. Go look at things. If you haven't been in your basement in a while, go check it out, or get somebody, you know, to check it out for you if you can't get down there as easily as you used to, stuff like that. Years ago, we were looking at a couple bathroom remodels and an older home, and, you know, cast iron stacks. And I said, you know, they're older couple. I said, well, do you mind if I run downstairs and just take a look at the plumbing stacks and check the condition, see if we think we need to change them or not? And that, they're like, oh, no, go ahead. They're like, you know, it's partially finished, but those stacks will be off to the left in the unfinished area right under there. And as soon as I got down there, there's literally water running out through the wall onto the carpet. The sump pump looks like boiling water, like the pipe broke and it's pumping the water out, but it's just running off onto the floor, and the pipe's just like literally broken. It was like a Friday afternoon, and I'm like, we should do something about this.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Water running everywhere. But I mean, if I wouldn't have been there, when they go down there next, you know, I have no idea.
Yeah, I had one a while back where the pump would kick on and the discharge pipe would become dislodged at one of the connections. So whenever it kicked on, it just sprayed water all over the place. But they were never down there to see that happen. So they're calling wondering what the heck's going on. And I happened to be walking into it when it happened. And I was like, all we got to do is, you know, reconnect the plumbing, reconnect the discharge pipe that it somehow wiggled loose.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's, you know, like you said, go walk around every once in a while, look at these things. I tell people every once in a while, you know, again, grab a 5-gallon bucket of water, pour it in there, watch what's going on, see if it's all functioning right. Make sure water's not spraying everywhere. But, you know, because a lot of people aren't in their basements looking around at that stuff.
Yeah,
absolutely. Grab an umbrella, go walk around your house on the outside while it's raining, not while it's lightning.
Yeah.
But, you know, but when it's raining, go look at what's going on with all your drainage. You'll learn some stuff real quick.
Yeah.
But no one does it. No one wants to go outside when it's raining.
No, absolutely. Yeah. It is a great thing to do. I talk about that all the time here on the show. But before we run out of time, I did want to touch real quick on egress windows. Let's get into something that's more like not a repair and maybe something fun, because somebody's getting to do something better or whatever. So you guys install egress windows, right?
Yeah. When Brett and Matt started the company, Brett's background was in home building before he got in the foundation industry, and he always had a dream that if he started a company of his own, that he was going to have an egress division. And so when Stratum was born, there was an egress division begun. And at first it was kind of looked at as, okay, if we can do a few of these things here and there as good filler work, great. And it has now become a very large part of our business. The key to these things is making sure they don't leak. They're notorious for leaking. And so the drainage, the evaluation, and the way those are looked at and where they're put, everybody's got a place where they want to put one. And not always does the place where they want to put one make sense. And so you got to know what you're looking at, and you got to understand down the road what can happen if you put one in a place that doesn't belong.
Well, understanding water.
Understanding
makes
water.
A lot of sense
yep.
for that process. But hey, we are just about out of time. One more time, can you let everybody know how they can find you guys and get in touch with you?
Yeah, stratumrepair.com if you get on the internet. Or give us a call at 314-620-8153.
And if you need everything around the repairs, all the other work, the drywall, the framing, the bathrooms, the stuff put back together, you can call us here at Mosby, 314-909-1800, or call Mosby.com. You'll find all sorts of information on us there also. So, hey, Kevin, it was great. Love having you on. We definitely need to do it again. I really appreciate you being here.
Absolutely. Good spending time with you, Rich.
Everybody else, we'll talk to you next week.
Get more at 971talk.com.
You're listening to Ride at Home with Rich. And now, here's your host, Rich Horace.
All right, guys, we are back, and man, are we having a good time today. Lots of information all about your foundations, waterproofing, piers, wall anchors. We have everything here today. Kevin Welsh with me from Stratum Structural Systems, talking everything about foundations. So, Kevin, I thought maybe we would touch a little bit about, the outside of the home. What do you see that causes some of these problems? What are some of the things that you find that are putting water in the wrong place or causing havoc on the foundations? And, what are some of those repairs that people can do from the outside to try and help combat some of these issues?
So, Rich, when we're doing an evaluation, we have a customer that'll take us directly to the problem. And it's always a good place to start, so you get kind of a gauge as to what's happening. But what we do at Stratum is we do a full walk around. We're going to look at everything. We're going to look at inside out, and we're going to look a lot outside at what's going on with drainage. Water drainage is a huge reason for a lot of these problems that we fix. If gutters aren't connected properly, so the water is coming off the roof and flowing behind the gutter as opposed to in the gutter. I looked at one yesterday where they had bushes growing out of their gutters, literally 6 inches of little sprouts coming up out of the
The
debris that had been collected inside of those gutters for God knows how long. They had a couple of cracks that needed to be filled, but told them that it was extremely important to get those gutters cleared out because they're clearly not operating at all. Yeah. So that's a huge thing. Downspouts, we like to see downspout extended 10 to 15 feet away from the foundation and flowing away and not back towards the foundation. So water's the big thing, and then grade. Obviously, looking at grade, and is water coming back because the grade's bad?
Is always
another problem.
Yeah, and I tell you, one of the biggest things I find all the time that for years and years, here at Mosby, when we do our gutters in the ground, the drain pipes, even French drains, through a yard or something like that. We're using hard, smooth-walled PVC pipe, and I see so many issues with the flexible corrugated pipe, snap-together connectors. I've tried to use a camera to look inside some of those corrugated pipes from the downspouts and stuff just to see if they're working or not. And, man, over the course of the past 10 years, I think I've seen inside those pipes like twice. I just quit even doing it because they go in about 6 feet and the pipe's crushed.
Yeah, and you can't see anything.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's leaking. You think it's going 10, 15, 25, 30 feet away, and it's literally leaking within the first four or five feet of ground right at your foundation.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and that's a big problem, too, when you get into the city or the older areas of St. Louis where the clay pipe was used back in the days, you know, 80, 90, 100 years ago. And that clay pipe's not built to last forever either. And you notice a lot of these stone foundations or homes right at the corners where the downspouts come down, water trying to come through the walls. And often it's due to the fact that their water's not escaping from around the foundation. It's going down into the clay pipe, and next thing you know, it's crushed under there and it's backing up against the house.
Yeah, so. And something I see all the time, too, is just the sump pump not working, just stops working, or, you know, they have the whole system and everything, and then basement floods because the sump pump just doesn't work. Like you were talking about, you know, with some riders on insurance would cover like a one-time failure or something. I see that so much. I've literally got one right now that I saw like a week ago that was the same thing. He's like, well, I don't know if it's clogged and there's not a lot of water coming out, or if the pump's just not working, you know, as well as it used to. And I'm like, how old's the sump pump? How long has it been in there? And they're like, oh, I don't know, 15 years, maybe 17. And I'm like, okay, so what kind of maintenance and how often should someone work on that sump pump?
So most sump pumps are going to have a 3-year manufacturer's warranty. They're not built to last forever. You know, keep in mind they're sitting in water in a lot of cases for long periods of time. So what I tell people is that, you know, I often get a question, how long can I expect my sump pump to last? And the answer is, you know, it really depends on how often it's having to work. The harder it's got to work, the more it's kicking on and off, you know, the more abuse it's taken. So your lifespan's probably going to be shorter on that. So, yeah, they need to be looked at. They need to be tested. A quick way to test them if you want to try it yourself is just, you know, open up the lid, grab a broom, and turn the handle around, stick it down there, and hit the bobber a few times. Yeah. If there's water in the pit, it'll kick that. It'll kick on, and it'll start kicking the water out. Or take a 5-gallon bucket, fill it up full of water, pour it in there, and see if it kicks on. It should kick on if it's working. So those are some quick, easy ways to do it. If you're still in question, give us a call. We'll come out. We'll take a look at it. And but, you know, I typically tell people that if your sump pump's approaching 8 to 10 years, you want to be thinking really hard about replacing that, or at least getting a battery backup system included in that, just so that if you have a failure, you're not destroying a finished basement if you have a finished basement.
Yeah. And I guess I see a lot of this stuff too, because I'm kind of like you guys are. You know, when I'm looking at something, I'm kind of looking at the whole house and kind of walking through everything and going, how's this working? How's that working? You know, if I'm going to do some stuff here, I really want to know everything around so that I'm not, you know, remodeling something that I'm going to need to possibly tear into a couple of years from now or something. So I find a lot of this stuff because I'm just checking the basement, making sure things are well.
And I had one with one of your guys last week. I was out with Kevin. And he had a customer who didn't know anything about her sump pump, and we popped the lid open and played with it for a little while, and it wouldn't kick on. And I unplugged it, kicked it back on, plugged it back in. It still didn't kick on. And then we got in, checked the breaker on the box to make sure the breaker was still set, and it was. And so real quick we figured out, this thing's – and it was rusted like crazy too. So it was obviously in need of a new pump.
Yeah. And I'm also advising people, you know, just kind of like take that walk around. Go look at things. If you haven't been in your basement in a while, go check it out or get somebody, you know, to check it out for you if you can't get down there as easily as you used to, stuff like that. Years ago, we were looking at a couple bathroom remodels and an older home and, you know, cast iron stacks. And I said, you know, they're older couple. I said, well, do you mind if I run downstairs and just take a look at the plumbing stacks and check the condition, see if we think we need to change them or not? And that, they're like, oh, no, go ahead. They're like, you know, it's partially finished, but those stacks will be off to the left in the unfinished area right under there. And as soon as I got down there, there's literally water running out through the wall onto the carpet. the sump pump looks like boiling water, like the pipe broke and it's pumping the water out, but it's just running off onto the floor and the pipe's just like literally broken. It was like a Friday afternoon. And I'm like, we should do something about this.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Water running everywhere. But I mean, if I wouldn't have been there, when they go down there next, you know, I have no idea.
Yeah, I had one a while back where the pump would kick on and the discharge pipe would become dislodged at one of the connections. So whenever it kicked on, it just sprayed water all over the place. But they were never down there to see that happen. So they're calling wondering what the heck's going on. And I happened to be walking into it when it happened. And I was like, all we got to do is, reconnect the plumbing, reconnect the discharge pipe that it somehow wiggled loose.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's, like you said, go walk around every once in a while, look at these things. I tell people every once in a while, again, grab a 5-gallon bucket of water, pour it in there, watch what's going on, see if it's all functioning right. Make sure water's not spraying everywhere. Because a lot of people aren't in their basements looking around at that stuff.
Yeah,
and grab an umbrella, go walk around your house on the outside while it's raining, not while it's lightning.
Yeah.
But when it's raining, go look at what's going on with all your drainage. You'll learn some stuff real quick.
Yeah.
But no one does it. No one wants to go outside when it's raining.
No, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It is a great thing to do. I talk about that all the time here on the show. But before we run out of time, I did want to touch real quick on egress windows. Let's get into something that's more like not a repair and mm-hmm. maybe something fun because somebody's getting to do something better or whatever. So you guys install egress windows, right?
Yeah. When Brett and Matt started the company, Brett's background was in home building before he got in the foundation industry, and he always had a dream that if he started a company of his own that he was going to have an egress division. And so when Stratum was born, there was an egress division begun, and at first it was kind of looked at as, okay, if we can do a few of these things here and there as good filler work, great. And it has now become a very large part of our business. The key to these things is making sure they don't leak. They're notorious for leaking, and so the drainage, the evaluation, and the way those are looked at and where they're put, everybody's got a place where they want to put one, and not always does the place where they want to put one make sense. And so you got to know what you're looking at, and you got to understand down the road what can happen if you put one in a place that doesn't belong.
Well, understanding water makes a lot of sense for that process. But, hey, we are just about out of time. One more time, can you let everybody know how they can find you guys and get in touch with you?
Yeah, stratumrepair.com if you get on the internet, or give us a call at 314-620-8153.
And if you need everything around the repairs, all the other work, the drywall, the framing, the bathrooms, the stuff put back together, you can call us here at Mosby, 314-909-1800, or call Mosby.com. You'll find all sorts of information on us there also. So, hey, Kevin, it was great. Love having you on. We definitely need to do it again. I really appreciate you being here.
Absolutely. Good spending time with you, Rich.
Everybody else, we'll talk to you next week.
Get more at 971talk.com.